And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, talking about this show. Y'all, this show goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, and I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, that is just the radio footprint, just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, logging into the live stream, checking things out inside the studio with video and audio. And oh, by the way, that's on places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then tons of y'all podcast the show after the fact, catching up on things you might have missed before. And that that bottom line is that whole litany of where things are heard or seen with Right Side by you. It's just me saying to you, we can see it, we know it, we appreciate it. No matter where you catch the show, we're glad you do. It means the world to us. You're the only reason why we do this. Got a few more text messages, and then I will jump on to topic number two. Dave from Capshaw, if I can get my texture to open. Dave from Capshaw says, Kamala was given the award of denial. So Trump's getting the order of the Nile from Egypt. He says, this is like a, you need kind of a dad joke sound effect. Kamala was given the award of denial.
I don't even know what a dad joke sound effect would be.
At least a womp womp. Give him a womp womp. That's don't quit your day job, Dave.
I've seen Kamala going around, like she went to Howard, which is her alma mater, and said that, a Howard graduate, talking about herself, had the closest election in presidential history. So she's saying that her election, even though she lost, was the closest election in presidential history. So, yeah, I think she's kind of in denial. I think that's her trying to cope.
I think that's, like, I think she's failing, too. Yeah. John from Coleman says, Fort Benning, airborne. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, indeed. I can't tell you how much time I spent at Benning. Between the infantry officer corps, airborne, jumpmaster, pathfinder, ranger, all of it. Fort Benning. And I'm glad it's renamed Fort Benning. Airborne. Thanks for your service, too, I assume, dear John. Adam from Athens. Phil, I just wanted everyone to know that we had a number of new families on Sunday at Movement Church. Movement Church is the one that had the graffiti on the walls the other day because they dared to have a TPUSA faith event with Brian Dawson from 1819 News as their speaker, and they did not back down. So I want everyone to know we had a number of new families on Sunday at Movement Church. Then I talked with a couple of families that said they wanted to see what was left. See what the left was so upset about. They tried to hurt the church, but it's just going to make us stronger. Oh, and JP, you don't have to worry about burning that cigar. Go Vols.
All that in one text.
That was a power-packed text, man.
I respect it.
Jim from Athens says, hey, Phil, I may be way off here. He said, I've seen the video of Hillary and the audio of Harris. He must be voice texting. This is not making sense.
I don't even know what clip Jim's talking about. If he wants to say which clip he's talking about, then we can.
Jim, I think you're going to have to spell check yourself before you send these, brother. I can't even read it, but thank you very much. We'll get back to you. Jack from Huntsville says, I have an awful suspicion. My texture is so slow today. I'll click on it and it takes its time. I have an awful suspicion that the deceased hostages that were not returned would show signs of torture so bad that they destroyed the peace deal and hence hidden away forever by these evil terrorists. God bless Donald J. Trump and Israel. Jack, you know, I'm not going to be surprised to find the same or they show signs of execution. I also have read that Hamas has admitted that they're going to have trouble producing some of them because not every burial site is even known. And plus you gotta imagine that some of them are being used as human shields and they died in the rubble when the bombs dropped. David from Huntsville, texter says, I am celebrating the return of the hostages, albeit had to release Palestinian fighters from prison. Does this break the rule to never negotiate with terrorists? This was an end to an armed conflict, a war. So I think it has a different flavor to it. Plus, it had to be agreed upon between Israel and Hamas, with the United States serving as the intermediary. David from Taft, Tennessee says Trump 2.0 is fantastic. Will J.D. Vance be able to stay true to plan, or will Don Jr. or Eric be next in line? Well, I mean, I don't think Don Jr. or Eric Trump have ever expressed a desire to go run for office. In fact, I think they would run from it. I say that. I mean, Laura Trump was talking about running for Senate, so I don't know. But I'm going to be of the mind that right now J.D. Vance is pressing forward on the idea of running for president. Wouldn't you? I think so.
I think he is the clear front runner right now. I think it's going to be a Vance Rubio ticket.
I think a Vance Rubio ticket would be strong. I mean, like, way strong.
That is if Rubio doesn't decide to run himself, which is very possible.
Yeah, you know what? I've wondered about that, but I've also thought, watching them work together, that I don't see that level of internal competition that, you know what I'm saying? I don't see them bristling at each other.
Yeah, but I think this is the first time in 10 years. Well, when it comes to 2028, it'll be what, 12 years since, you know, we've had a non-Trump GOP, you know, where Trump wasn't just a clear front runner.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be scrambling for, I mean, right now they're all one on one mission, and that is to have the best, you know, most successful administration possible. But I think once, you know, this Trump term is over, I think they're all going to be scrambling to be the guy that is the next guy after Trump. It's just been so long since Trump's been has not been the GOP, essentially. So I think they're all going to be scrambling. And
here's the other factor, too. It's going to be the first time I can think of that we're going to have an open seat. So there's no incumbency.
Yeah.
In the run-up for president in the primary. Now, I mean, technically, a J.D. Vance could be considered a semi-incumbency because he was vice president, but this will be a clear non-incumbent. There's not a sitting president running for the office.
Yeah. If you ask me, probably going to see Vance, maybe Rubio. You'll probably see DeSantis back in. I wouldn't be surprised if Trump Jr. runs. We'll see. And then I think, you know, to be the Ron Paul in this, I think maybe like a Thomas Massey or somebody like that would be like the libertarian on the right.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know that they'll even draw a huge primary, though. I think there may wind up being a sort of a unofficial enclave of who do we like that we've got. Is it Vance? All right. Everybody good? Vance. And then we clear the path so they're not having to compete with each other. There may be somebody who rises up, but I don't think it will be an inner circle person. I think you're going to wind up seeing a sort of predetermination that unless Vance screws up between now and then, that Vance will be the guy who steps forward, takes the reins. The question will be who's going to be number two. I agree with you. I think it's going to be Rubio. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, why would it not? The guy's a rock star right now.
There's a lot of time before 28 as well for some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Why
to
are we
happen?
Even talking about this? this is not. How did we do this? This is not even one of the dippers. All right, we're gonna switch gears here now. I'm gonna. Oh, by the way, I got a text here. Jack from Huntsville says, by the way, are they paratrooper formerly calloused hands? Yes, they are. My calloused former paratrooper hands. No, they're not paratrooper formerly calloused hands. They're calloused former paratrooper.
He keeps his hands calloused. He keeps working.
I do. I do stuff. JT Lacey Springs says, why Dems can't accomplish anything? And he sends me a meme, and it has a picture. Oh, okay. I like it. The characters from Wizard of Oz with the faces of Pelosi, Schumer, AOC, and who's the one? Schiff.
Schiff, yeah.
Yeah.
Pencil neck.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Listen, we're gonna jump into dipper number two. Who is Antifa? Are they real? There's a lot of talk about designated Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization, but just as much as the right, including me, believe that there is a semblance of organization here that deserves investigation, I'm of the firm belief that it is. There is a narrative from the left. Oh, no. Oh, goodness. Oh, stop it. Antifa is nothing more than an idea. Antifa's not an organization. They don't have hierarchy. They don't have funding. They're just a bunch of guys who, you know, do social media and they do a little rave on the streets and they go back home and sit in their mommy's basements and they get mad. And they talk to each other on the internet when they're playing games. No, I don't think that's true at all. I think that the Trump administration was right to designate Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. And by the way, by having done that, by having created that designation, it opens up a panoply of things that can be done to deal with Antifa. Not the least of which is U.S. attorneys in the United States have now been directed to begin investigating the funding for domestic terror. through groups like the Soros Open Societies Foundation. I'm going to bet that there are any number of organizations that receive the benefit of Soros' largesse as he gives away funding, knowing full well that what he's doing is funding civil unrest on the streets through Antifa, which is real and is not as disparately, you know, or loosely connected as some would have you believe. I've got a copy right now of the designation by the White House, dated September 22nd, so it's right at about 3 weeks old. Antifa as a terrorist threat, executive order of the president, from whitehouse.gov. Antifa, it says, is a militarist anarchist enterprise that explicitly calls for the overthrow of the United States government, law enforcement authorities, and our system of law. It uses illegal means to organize and execute a campaign of violence and terrorism nationwide to accomplish these goals. Anybody argue with that? Well, the left does. I don't. I think that's spot on. This campaign, it says, involves coordinated efforts to obstruct law enforcement of federal laws through armed standoffs with law enforcement, organized riots, violent assaults on immigration and customs enforcement and other law enforcement officers, and the routine doxing of and other threats against political figures and activists. Yes, it does. All right. So that being said, and I can keep reading it, but there's a longer description. The order is now being implemented. Because of the aforementioned pattern of political violence designed to suppress lawful political activity and obstruct the law, I hereby designate Antifa as a domestic terror organization. All relative executive departments and agencies, and that's the piece, that's the key. By this designation, he can then order all relevant executive departments and agencies to begin utilizing all applicable authorities to investigate, disrupt, and dismantle any and all illegal operations. The left will try to tell you this is an assault on free speech. There is no free speech in the violent uprisings we see on the streets of Portland. There is no free speech in bricks being thrown at ICE agents. There is no free speech in the assault on members of the media. There's no free speech in the constant stream of interdiction of law enforcement in the basically the pursuit of their duties. He goes on to say, especially those involving terrorist actions conducted by Antifa or any person claiming to act on behalf of Antifa and for which Antifa or any other person claiming to act on behalf of Antifa provided material support. Okay, so it's not just Antifa. It's those that support their work, including the necessary investigatory and prosecutorial actions against those who fund such operations. That, my friends, is a game changer. Think back to the Summer of Love. With BLM rioters and Antifa joining in for fun, doing anything and everything they wanted to do, taking over a whole, remember the whole thing about Chaz and Chop? Remember that? They had whole sections of Portland, Seattle, New York City, you know, Occupy Wall Street. They were doing the whole thing to begin basically saying, police are not welcome here, we control these streets. That's called anarchy. And they did it, and they did it unfettered. And nobody stepped in to say boo about it. You know why? Because Democrats are scared to death because that's their people. For the Democrats, those are their shock troops. For the Democrats, Antifa, those are the jackbooted thugs they need to advance their agenda. And so they turn the other way and they don't look, they don't make eye contact while Antifa runs around burning things and they go over here and they say what Antifa stands for in their official capacity. Let's not forget that back in the day when the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, was a terrorist organization operating in Ireland, that it also had Sinn Féin, which was its political wing. Sometimes it feels like the Democrat Party is the Sinn Féin of the Antifa, if you know what I'm saying. Sometimes it feels like they are literally just a seemingly reasonable face of all the things that Antifa is over here burning for. Is Antifa real? We'll talk about it in more detail after this break. We'll come right back. Oh, the Antifa deniers are out, man. But I got receipts. Let's talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Got a couple of texts and I'll go back to my content. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, I think that we should deploy psychotherapists to Antifa rallies. Because this is a self-hating group. If they're anti-fascist, they're basically Nazi brown shirts, and they do the exact same thing they did when the Nazis were in power. Okay, I get you. That's, you see how he twisted that? That was interesting.
Jeff doesn't, he tells us what he thinks. I appreciate it. Straight up.
Tom from Decatur says, I thought that the demonstrations of the Occupy Wall Street protests would evolve into Antifa-like violent anti-American terrorist groups in the future. And then it seems to me they were supported by left-wing extremist groups then too. Yep. Indeed. So I've got a piece here written by Jonathan Turley. Always provides solid stuff. This thing came from The Hill, came out over the weekend. And he points out something. He says that roughly 70, I didn't know this, but he said roughly 70 years ago, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover famously declared, there's no organized crime in America, meaning the mafia. He was a mafia denier, which is kind of weird because the mafia was very much there. Many have speculated, he said, on why Hoover maintained that stubborn denial. Some say he was trying to avoid a political embarrassment because this large criminal network was still operating and he couldn't do anything about it. Who knows? But Turley then took that as an analogy and said, there's a Hoover-esque willful blindness right now about another violent group, Antifa. And then he points out Representative Dan Goldman, the same guy I was on the other night with on CNN, who just struck me as a guy who will say anything. And it seemed very hollow. Did you notice that? His comments.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I texted you. I was like, he just seems like a soulless, like everything. There was no life behind his eyes. He was just regurgitating. It's like he was created in a lab by the Democrats to just regurgitate Democratic talking points. It's like, is anybody there, you know? But I feel bad for him. I mean, he doesn't seem like a very happy person, but.
No, in fact, he never looked like he believed what he was saying.
Yeah.
Either.
He's just, you know, and then whenever you pressed him, it was like the.
Yeah,
you know,
he gets a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
But anyway, Representative Dan Goldman, the same guy we're talking about, recently said, just name me one member of Antifa. Like, that means something? Okay, how about this? Kyle Benjamin Douglas Calvert. You know who that is? He's an Antifa guy who bombed the Alabama Attorney General's office just a couple years ago. 26 years old, he implanted an IED device outside of Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall's office in downtown Montgomery, putting up stickers saying, support your local Antifa. You know, just a name, just a guy who dropped a bomb. And then there's all kinds of other people we could say, you know, oh, this guy, that guy was arrested. We have the mugshots of this one and that one and this one. Then the question becomes, okay, now that we name names and you can't deal with that, Dan Goldman, what about, are they organized? There are people that say, they are certainly not organized. They're just a group of people with an ideology. They don't run around. There's no boss. There's nobody telling them where to go. Then how do they all know where to go? I mean, has anybody asked that question? How do they all know when to show up and what time? How do they all dress alike? Why do they have a flag with an emblem on it? Why do they seemingly wear almost like a uniform, like a militant look of mostly in black, faces masked, hoods on? A lot of times they have shields. Sometimes the shields all match, if you notice that. And they share tactics. They have, y'all, they have Antifa medics that come out with them to their protests. Organized groups don't, you know, unorganized groups don't show up with medics. They have safe houses. They have places they can go to rest between violence. They're organized. They got a little more going on than just a social media group. When we get back, I got a clip I'll play for you for Andy Noe, a independent reporter who's been reporting on Antifa for 10 years and assaulted by them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number 3 on a Meatloaf Monday. Yeah, baby. So we're talking about Antifa right now. And JP just reminded me of something. I didn't realize this was a anti-ICE protest. But the thing, there's a video. Nick Sortor has it on right now on his X feed.
Ugh.
Okay. Caution.
Have a barf bag with you.
Yeah. So apparently a large number, and when I'm talking about hundreds, a large number of anti-ICE protests, many of which are probably Antifa protesters, decided to do a nude, they call it a die-in, because they're pretending they're dead as they block the roads. We're talking about a whole lot of nakedness. Like, this is nothing but an opportunity to be deviant in public is all this is.
It's only an opportunity for them. I mean, these are the same people that, you know, smoke meth on the sidewalk because it's decriminalized in Portland and, you know, have sex in public because nobody's going to do anything. Like, these people are just gross. So, unfortunately, yeah. But that they just look for any reason to be gross like that. What does that do? Like, driving by on a bicycle just naked from, like, what does that do for your cause?
There's nothing. That's probably hazardous too. Just tell you what I was going to say.
You think?
Yeah. But they point out here in the X post that I'm looking at that Portland is even allowing it, and then saying, remember, this is the blank you vote for when you vote Democrat. This is what happens. This is what happens to some of these blue cities. They just turn into complete goat rodeos. I mean, this is a circus.
It's like Sodom and Gomorrah.
It's just unreal. All right, so. We were talking a minute ago about Antifa, which technically we still are. But the Antifa, the violent Antifa that we're talking about, there's a push right now by the Trump administration to track down not just Antifa's organization and infrastructure, but also to begin looking at who is funding them, who is giving them safe haven. I've got a piece here. Here it is from The Independent. Phil, did you go to The Independent? I did. And go these places again, so you don't have to. But Katie Davenport, who works for the Post-Millennial, you may have seen her, young, petite, blonde, independent reporter working for the Post-Millennial. I say independent. She works for the Post-Millennial. But she was assaulted by Antifa at a recent protest. She's been covering it for a while. One of them had their Antifa flag on a pole, reached around and swung it at her like a bat, she said, cracked her right in the eye. She had a big old black eye, quite a shiner. And then she tried to get the police to do something because there was a policeman nearby. And so she took the person's picture, who was, of course, masked and, you know, and doing the whole thing. The person began walking away, and she grabbed the policeman and said, "That person just assaulted me." Turns out this police officer is just what they call an engagement officer. A what? An engagement officer. What does that even mean? It means it's a police officer who's not really policing. He's a talk officer. He's allowed to go and converse with them and engage them and maybe help, you know, bring this thing to a successful conclusion. Well, Antifa knows. They knew to blow him off. They just blew him off and kept walking. Refused his request to stop and refused to engage with the engagement officer. That's a joke. But anyway, one of the things that, aside from her personal assault, one of the things that really bugged me about Davenport's recent testimony when she spoke at a roundtable session that Trump held in D.C. recently, she said that we're looking at right now an entire group or city blocks that the Portland police has completely abandoned. She said the Portland police has completely abandoned this zone. They refuse to go in. Everyone who shows up in there is on their own. And that's what it's like right here in the ground in Portland. It's time for a federal crackdown. But then she pointed out that Antifa, and here's the point I was going to make, that the Antifa protesters at these downtown areas in Portland, they will riot at night, and then there's a office building not far away that is a safe house. And they go there, in her words, to shower, use the restroom, and get food, and wait for the next protest. Well, who's paying for that? I got news. A bunch of skinny jeans wearing, you know, nose ring wearing, blue hairs with Antifa uniforms on, don't rent office buildings. Somebody's funding it. Somebody put that together. There's an organizational structure and there's a funding base. This is real. And the people of Portland, God bless them. And by the way, it's not just Portland. They're just the easy example right now. Yahoo.com has a piece that came out 2 days ago. It says the White House is spotlighting what it describes as years of unchecked Antifa violence in Portland, Oregon. And at the roundtable I was talking about earlier, they talked about it. And the people of Portland, it says, are basically begging for intervention. One business owner said, "Yesterday morning I was broken into for the 10th time." Can you imagine? 10th time. said, we need help here. We need something to be done. We need the National Guard. We need to do whatever it takes to get our leaders to pay attention. I think it's a good thing. We've been struggling for a long time. Now, veteran journalist Andy Ngo, he's spelled NGO. You may have seen him before. He's an independent guy, does great work on the streets. He goes into the mix wherever they are, and they hate him. You know why? Because he shows the world what they do, and he gets up close and personal. Andy Ngo himself was actually assaulted pretty severely. I think he was put in the hospital for it. I've got a piece right here. It's a little bit longer than normal. In fact, I may wind up stopping it at some point and commenting. It's about a two-minute clip. This is Andy Ngo in a recent interview on Fox talking about Antifa being real and why he knows they're real. Play it.
Neo-Nazis organize around an ideology. Jihadists organize around an ideology. So what's your point, really? The point you're really trying to do when people bring that up is to run cover for Antifa, because these people on the left know that organized militant Antifa networks themselves and individuals operate as shock troops for their cause. They have the same enemies. They want the same outcomes in terms of the institutions destroyed. And they want the political opposition intimidated into silence and disengaging from the political process. It's become mainstream, and that is very scary. And you can see it manifest in ways like, for example, normal people who they've seen the footage of the organized Antifa militants for the last 10 years engaging in violence. And their response is, well, Antifa is simply anti-fascism. I'm Antifa. The soldiers who fought against fascism in the Second World War were Antifa. These are people who are engaging that deception knowingly. I would say that part of that same type of depraved worldview, philosophy, gives rise to people who celebrate the killings of people, like those who celebrated after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, those who celebrated and danced after the United Healthcare CEO was murdered, and those who call for myself and others to be assassinated. It was bittersweet to me because I lost my dad earlier this year, and I wish he had been around to see that. My parents were refugees of communism from Vietnam, and I don't know how they would take it if they knew the full extent of far-left militancy in America.
Wait, stop it there.
And that they raised the sun.
Stop it there. What he's basically saying is, my family fled communism. We understand, he's basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but we understand what it means to have militant side to that radical base, that militant side that actually does the acting out, that militant side that then gets an excuse, a buy, even a denial, if you will, a plausible deniability. We don't know who they are. They're not real. Please. I mean, everybody knows Antifa is just an ideology. And he points out the Nazis rallied around an ideology. You know, Al-Qaeda rallies around an ideology. And it doesn't matter that they don't have an office building with their name on it and a big sign. They can still be semi-organized or even fully organized, and they can still be funded, even if they're only funded in cells. The reality is, if they are funded in cells, they're still funded. Somebody's paying for the pallet of bricks. Somebody's paying for the shields that all match. Somebody's paying for the social media platforms and the other things that get set up that put the messaging in place so they can all get the signal when to show up at the next rally. Somebody's getting the office building for them to use as a safe house. Who's doing this? And I think we're going to find there's a network right now funded by things like George Soros' Open Society Foundations that gives to these organizations that then give to other quote-unquote NGOs or non-governmental organizations that then funds Antifa.
Can I just say, he mentioned it in the clip, Antifa's trying to post pictures of like the guys storming the beaches in Normandy saying that these guys were Antifa.
Please.
I mean, I'm sure we all have family that served in World War II. I know my great-grandfather did. My great-uncle was actually a prisoner of the Nazis, had to be saved by the Soviets. Can you imagine what they would be called in today's society? Like, the men of 1940s America would be called sexist, racist, homophobic, violent Christian nationalists because they went and fought for their country. These people, like, the men who stormed the beaches of Normandy were not pro-communism. They weren't Marxist communists who aided Western civilization like Antifa of today is. So they're trying to use that as, you know, like propaganda almost to say, well, you know, the earlier men of America, they were Antifa. No, they weren't. Okay. Antifa is communist Marxist who wanted to destroy America. That's what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good words. The last thing I guess I'll say on this, maybe the last thing. Well, nope, I take it back. I got a few more things that I'll say about it. I'll tell you what, I'll hold it to the break. Let's take the break right now. We'll come back from this break, and I'm going to get into the claims that just the MAGA media, which I guess I'm part of the MAGA media, the MAGA media is out there trying to just, you know, create something that's really not there. We'll talk about it. Is Antifa real? Oh, I think they are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Closing in on halfway through hour number three here on a Meatloaf Monday. I'm in dipper number two. Who is Antifa? Who are these people? Antifa. Is this just an ideology? Is it just an idea? Is it just like a bunch of copycats and they all like see social media and they go, ooh, I'll dress that way too. Or where do I get one of those? Somebody's making the flags. Somebody's got the logo. Somebody has the camera-ready art for the flyers they hand out. Somebody's paying for the bricks. Somebody's paying for the shield. Somebody's paying for the, you know, the safe houses they use when they rally. Somebody's buying the rental trucks where sometimes they all show up in the back of a panel van and jump out and do their rioting. Come on. This is not just some, you know, unhinged group of occasionals who show up and meet each other on the street. They go, hey, didn't I see you in Seattle? Yeah. Wow, fancy meeting you here. No, it's organized. It's far more organized than that. I got a piece, though, from Axios. Again, Phil, with the Axios? You went to Axios? I did. I keep going these places so you don't have to. But yeah, Axios says, the MAGA media is waging asymmetric warfare on Antifa. This came out Saturday. You think? Says the MAGA media is flexing its ability to shape the debate over Antifa and violent crime in American cities. Wait a minute. They put Antifa and violent crime in the same sentences. That's a win right there. Just say it.
It is.
Anyway, empowered by allies in the White House hungry for evidence of left-wing terrorism. Hungry? We're not hungry. We're sick of it. We've had our fill. We are not hungry for it at all. We want it to stop. Anyway, why it matters, it says, the Trump administration is using clips of violent street clashes. Okay. Paired with testimony from MAGA-aligned reporters. Okay. To depict Democrat-led cities as engulfed in chaos. Okay. What's their point here?
So, in other words, if you just turn the camera on and show what's actually happening, then that somehow is not correct. That's biased information. Like, they're trying to depict that it's... No, it's just... They're just literally showing what's happening.
We talked about it before. You know why libs of TikTok became famous, right?
Yeah, because they were showing what libs were doing, what they were saying.
That's it. Because they were literally just showing with lib stuff. Hey, here's a lib saying this. Hey, here's a lib doing that. Hey, here's a lib. And the libs would freak out. How dare you show our things?
Yeah. How dare you hold us accountable?
You showed your things.
Yeah.
I just showed the rest of the world your things that you already showed. Anyway, it points out in here how many, you know, showed up at the Trump roundtable. And it says liberal influencers share a lighthearted protest scene and carefree brunch crowds to mock the idea that Antifa. This is an awful article.
Who's it by again?
Who's this by? Somebody named Tal Axelrod.
Tal Axelrod.
I think you need to look up Tal Axelrod. Any release of David Axelrod? Anyway, isolated acts of violence happen in cities across the country every day. Isolated acts of violence happen in cities across the country every day without prompting federal intervention. What sets this moment apart is conservative media's fixation on these clashes and its uniquely receptive audience in the White House. No, the uniquely receptive audience of the White House is called leadership. Somebody who's finally saying, you no longer get a pass. You, junior thug, you no longer get a pass. You, in mommy's basement, sitting there with your keyboard courage, stoking things up, you no longer get a pass. You group who all rode together from one city to the next to bring your protest and your violence, and you showed up with shields and, you know, and pepper spray, and you assaulted police officers, you no longer get a pass. That's what we're seeing.
By the way, this is Tal Axelrod right here.
Oh.
And his picture said, or his caption on his or bio on his X says, covering the conservative MAGO ecosystem from Axios.
I think Tal got beat up a lot as a kid. What do you think?
Probably.
Yeah. Does he have his pronouns on there too?
No, but he does say he's not related to David Axelrod.
Oh, he does. Fox News has a piece, Dateline, last Friday, calling it Riot Inc. I like that. This is Riot Inc. Incorporated. It's incorporated. The Trump administration is intensifying its efforts to trace the funding behind Antifa and other protest movements pursuing what officials describe as a coordinated campaign to expose the nonprofit and dark money networks. Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the end result of this. The article here from Reuters clearly identifies one of the known bad guys in all of this. George Soros's open-funded society, according to Reuters, on Thursday slammed a report pushed by the U.S. Justice Department to investigate its organization for supporting terrorism and other crimes as politically motivated attacks just to silence Donald Trump's adversaries. No, we can see who you're funding. We can see some of it. We don't know all of it, but we're going to. And the reality is, if you have been fomenting terror, if you have been funding anti-American violent riots, if you have been funding Antifa as it interferes with law enforcement, then you are potentially funding domestic terrorism. Your freedom of speech ends at violence. It does. And the fact that you're funding it, maybe even fomenting it, maybe even supporting it, maybe even coddling it and bringing it to a new level, guess what? It deserves to be looked at. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! Big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure, and that's just the radio. And then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web live streaming the show, live streaming on places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and, by the way, our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters, what's the number right now on podcasters? Where are we at? 300, I'm going to say 357,000. What do you think?
Let me pull that up.
It's a lot. It's a ton. A lot of y'all podcast show after the fact. We appreciate that. Wherever you catch this show, you guys, wherever you catch it, we appreciate it more than you possibly know.
360.3 thousand.
Wow. Over 360,000 downloads of this show's podcast. Goodness. Well, praise God.
Praise God.
I can sign off for now. I'm done. Let's go ahead and call it a day. Got a few text messages I'll take. Jeff from Indiana says, define apparently. What does that mean? It's against the law in Portland. Oh, apparently against the law. I guess when I talked about the naked protest, I guess. He says, define apparently. It's against the law in Portland, Oregon to openly carry a loaded firearm. Why doesn't somebody sue the city for denying their constitutional rights? I'm not sure where we are right now, Jeff. What's he referring to? Do you know? Jeff, are you listening to another radio show and then texting us? What's happening here? Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, if Antifa actually ran into a group of America-loving rednecks, black and white, because I live in the real world, they would find another hobby real quick. I agree. There's a reason they operate in the areas they do. There's a video of Antifa trying stuff in Savannah, Georgia, and a pickup truck throws a smoke bomb out of the window to get them out of the road, and they started hitting his truck with bicycles and sticks. He just got out with a pistol, and you could tell he had training on how to approach a group. They ran away. Roll Tide. Tennessee sucks.
Great text.
You know what? That almost begs that comedy clip you had a minute ago. I could see that in response to Antifa. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Can you pull that up again?
We actually got demonetized from our last live stream. We played it.
Stop
because
it.
Of copyright for playing that clip.
Well, dadgum.
So,
I
mean,
how
we
wrong
can,
is that?
We can, but just a heads up that it will get demonetized.
All right. Locked out because we played something entertaining. John from Harvest says, Antifa is anti-fascist the same way that Democrats, People's Republic of Korea is actually a liberal democracy. In other words, not at all. John, spot on. TL from Huntsville says, I missed a portion of this dipper while on the road, but in case you did not already mention this, Glenn Beck's Wednesday night special this past Wednesday followed the money trail on numerous corporations and organizations that funnel money to Antifa groups. It is jaw-dropping. I have not seen that. Have you seen that?
I have not either.
Do you listen to Glenn Beck stuff?
No,
I need to go. Regularly. I need to go find that one. That's a okay. Thank you, TL. I'm on it. Joe in Tennessee says, Cackler. Oh, that's Kamala Harris.
Stunner. Yeah, yeah.
Cackler is a Democratic challenger to Foster Brooks. What are we talking about right now? Do we know what we're talking about? Who's Foster Brooks?
Don't know.
Okay.
It's probably a nickname for somebody else,
I guess.
Well, it says Foster Brooks is an American actor and comedian, but he's from like long ago. So I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about here.
Joe C., we have no idea what you're talking about, but thanks for texting. We appreciate you. All right, listen, I gotta do a quick update. I'm not going to make it into my third Dipper adventure in Woke World. I'll save that for tomorrow. But I do got to give you a quick update. So today we had the breaking news of the Middle East peace accords being signed between Israel and Hamas. Basically all the remaining living hostages were returned. Almost a couple of thousand Hamas prisoners were returned. So basically Hamas got a lot more people back than we did, but nonetheless, these hostages have been held in basements and, you know, in subterranean caverns underneath the Gaza Strip for the entire 2 years. That all happened today. They all got released today. The shooting has stopped. Here's one of the most dynamic pieces that tells you how big this is. Former President Bill Clinton just praised President Donald Trump. Praised him for his administration's effort brokering the Israel-Hamas ceasefire, saying the president and his regional partners deserve great credit for keeping negotiations on track. He went on to say the horrors of the October 7th, 2023 attack on Israel and the conflict they reignited have resulted in unbearable human loss. It's been hard to watch, nearly impossible to rationalize. Clinton says, I'm grateful that a ceasefire has taken hold, that the last 20 hostages have been freed, and that desperately needed aid has begun to flow to Gaza. President Trump and his administration, Qatar, and other regional actors all deserve great credit for keeping everyone engaged when the agreement was reached. That's big doings. That's the Democrat. I mean, Trump beat his wife in the election. This is telling you that they are realizing they can't just say never Trump on everything. I saw a tweet earlier from Britt Hume, who said, where are the never Trumpers like Bill Kristol and George Conway right now? Are they congratulating Trump? No, they have been noticeably silent, saying nothing.
Well, that just makes these people lose even more credibility.
Yeah, it
because
does.
Then it shows that they're not actually looking objectively. They're just looking through how to pin everything against Trump. You know, it's like how can you not say that this was a success on Trump's end because he was able to? I mean, this was literally the art of the deal in action. Playing both sides, talking to the Arab world and folks in Qatar, talking to the Israelis, working together to get something done. And that's obviously something that Joe Biden wasn't able to do, and I don't think many other presidents in general, both sides, would have been able to do something like this. So if you're not giving him credit for that, then you've just shown that you're completely jaded and you're not being a objective reporter or journalist, whatever. It's opening people's eyes to, wait, they can't pin something on Trump, so they're just not going to talk about it. So even though it's historical.
Give no credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
Bill Maher has also been saying good things about Trump. Now, Bill Maher, by the way, has been calling balls and strikes. I will
Absolutely.
Say that.
I mean, he is I'd call him more of a left-leaning centrist. He's against the woke, and he's against...
I don't know if you can go with centrist.
I think he is.
You think?
I mean, I disagree with him on a bunch of stuff, but I wouldn't classify him as woke at all. And
no,
that seems
he hates
to be
woke. That, I will say that.
Like the left is, in my eyes, radical woke now. So left-leaning centrist being Bill Maher, I think, is fair, and it also speaks to where the left is right now.
Well, Bill Maher just in his podcast the other day, he was actually having a conversation with actor William H. Macy, and this is Bill Maher. He said, "I always say this: you cannot ever deny success. You just have to give your respect, even if it's not your thing." He said, have the humility to give it up for enormous success on any level. Trump, he said, not my choice, didn't vote for him, and I can't deny the success. And then Macy agreed, said, I can't either. He's the president. That's a pretty telling conversation right there. there's more to the conversation, but it's not worth going into. But the bottom line is, here's what you're noticing. Liberals, honest ones, cannot deny success. Even when Joe Biden was falling apart and just like literally dissembling in front of the world, they wouldn't admit there was a real problem, but they still took him off the stage. they still put Kamala in. But they wouldn't tell the world they did it because he was crumbling. It's unbelievable. The lack of honesty among Democrats is just galling. Jared from Huntsville says they'll figure out a way to spin this to the what about Ukraine, though, discussion. Well, by the way, President Trump is meeting with Zelensky in the Oval Office on Friday. That's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. Dave from Capshaw says, by the way, Foster Brooks was on the old Dean Martin roast of the 60s and 70s. He always played the slurring, drunken old man.
So I guess he's talking about him. Joe Biden, I guess.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Merle from Hartzell says, Foster.
Everybody's coming in about Foster Brooks now.
Foster was the drunk guy. He played a good drunk guy, too, by the way. Wendell from Baton Rouge, Foster, mm-hmm. was a comedian from the 70s, known to be an imitated drunk. Got it. Mark from Decatur says, the Trump peace accord is such a win for the president. The never-Trumpers are silent, saying, please, please, it's too much winning. Yeah, no doubt. Tom from Decatur, Foster Brooks again. Thank you. Thank you all very much.
I appreciate all the rest of the text of Foster Brooks.
Scott from Russellville, Foster Brooks. Jeff from Indiana says, drop the define. That was a voice error. So, now, see, Jeff, I don't want you trying to text while you're driving.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
We're good with it. We'll take your illiterate voice text once in a while. It'll be fine.
Since Alabama is a hands-free state, you can't even have your cell phone in your hand while driving.
That's ridiculous. By the way, try to enforce that.
Yeah.
And by the way, try to enforce that when, okay, you're going to get me on a tear here.
Sorry.
I understand the no texting and driving thing. Yeah. The idea of you can't have your phone, you can't touch your phone. Okay. How about this? But officer, I wasn't holding my phone. Sir, I saw you holding it in your hand. That was a biscuit. But officer, I wasn't holding my phone. Sir, I heard you, saw you holding your phone. Officer, that was a cup of coffee. But I saw you holding a phone. No, sir. That was actually a book.
But you were holding it to your ear.
Yeah.
That's how I eat biscuits.
All right, take me to a break. We'll take that break right now. Last break on a Meatloaf Monday. Come right back and we'll wrap the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You eat biscuits in your ear? How does that work?